most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year, but on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot. This Cinco de Mayo, check out all that Rosalita's on Washington Avenue has to offer with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferreira. You can ride the Mechanical Bull, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right, and it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Avenue.
Who's ready for super premium fresh halibut imported daily from Alaska, grilled in an extra virgin olive oil with capers, lemon, mushrooms, and Greek oregano? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester in 270. Ask for it supreme style with colossal lump crab meat steamed in champagne. Owners Harry and Stavro Karagiannis have been in business for 25 years, and they are open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Kevin Moret here from Mentality Men's Health. We see every day that there are two kinds of guys. Those that accept lower testosterone and all the effects on their mind and body. Then there's our clients. They want healthy hormone levels, energy, and metabolism through their prime years. Our physicians specialize in taking care of men, optimizing hormones, and keeping them at maximum performance in their careers and families. Our services are covered by insurance, so every guy can afford it. Schedule a free consultation at lowtusa.com. That's lowtusa.com.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
It is a big day for golf news. And I have fresh off the charity press a bit of news concerning this guy. And golf, and me, and St. Jude, and trivia night, May 18th. Please say hello to Johnny Landoff. Hello, John.
Hello, Frankie. How are you?
I'm good, Johnny. I called you earlier today, and I said, hey, would you be willing to do this? And folks, he said, sure, let's do that. And here's what we're thinking about. But it's going to cost somebody. But it's for a good cause. It's tax deductible, and it's for St. Jude, and they save the lives of a lot of kids. If you want to play, if you want to play golf, two of you, you and a friend. And by the way, ladies are welcome too here. Don't think this is just if two women want to play with me and John. Here's what we'll do. I don't particularly like golf, and I'm really bad at it, and it's humiliating for me to play with people because I'm so bad, but I'm willing to be humiliated for nine holes. And John told me the expression is nine and dine. You play nine holes, and you have a and you have a nice meal. And he's willing to play with me and two other people at a really nice private country club. And that's where we are. And I'd like to get $3,000 to do that or more. I'm not gonna mess around here, pussyfoot around, start at $300 or $500 because I know I'm gonna want more. It's for a hospital that saves the lives of children. Yeah. Yep. So $3,000 will start it. If there are no takers, there are no takers. But thank you for doing that, for being willing to do that. I appreciate it.
And as I told you today, when you called, I'm like, I'm going to call Frank and just, hey, see how you're doing. We had a great weekend. I usually tell you when we have a big AM and the PM weekend, which is, let's face it, it's almost every weekend. Well, it's almost every day, you know, and my phone rings and I'm in my office working feverishly, by the way. I'm like, oh my God, I'm busy, but it's Frank. So what do? I stop everything.
Drop everything.
Yeah. I dropped it. Well, I didn't drop anything because at my age, I'm starting to drop stuff. But, you know, I mean, I'm like, it's Frank. This must be important. And it was. Yeah. And it was. And it's a great idea. Maybe what we'll do ahead of time is go to this place I know and we'll get some lessons together. Okay?
You don't need lessons. And I don't really need lessons because they won't do any good.
Yes, they do. Everybody, the greatest, Tiger Woods has a golf instructor. He is a golf coach.
Okay, that's somebody who's striving to be better. I haven't even played for 2 years, and I probably won't play again for another 2 years. So I don't really care. I'm not working at getting good. If somebody wants some great comic relief, watching me play, struggling at 18 to break 100, so struggling at 9 holes to break 50, it'll probably be pretty entertaining. And we can tell a couple of jokes and have a little refreshment and a nice meal, and it'll be fun.
Be a lot more than a couple of jokes. Because you love telling stories. You love telling jokes, and you're very good
I
at
tell
it.
Jokes if people ask me to. I don't just go around telling jokes. But this person pays that kind of money. If they want me to tell a joke every hole, I'll tell it. And then we'll play and we'll eat, and it'll be a great day. Probably a Friday, because I don't work on Friday. And I think a memorable day and money for a good cause. So
could be a Friday, like mid-morning, and then a nice lunch. And it could be a Saturday also. But, whatever works for St. Jude, for Window World Care, and they're just the best. They're just fantastic. You know, there are so many great charities in this town. But these guys at Window World and gals, and I mean, they get it. They really know how to put on. That trivia night is one of the most favorite nights. You know, in the Lawn Dog team, we're the primary sponsor, and we get two tables. And and believe me, we fill those immediately, and we have a lot of fun. Mimi loves. I mean, are you kidding me? She puts a table of food together for almost like the entire group. But you know, it's, what's left over goes to all the Window World employees that help set the whole evening up, and then they break it. Had to break that thing down and take all the tables out of there, and I'm sure probably get out of there if they can by midnight. Fun night, and you being there, it's just going to make it like over the roof.
It's not about me. I'm just there at a table trying to not look stupid. And I have a story. I just thought of a story I want to share with people. It's a good celebrity story when you hear something good. And I don't know if you remember this or not. This is about 2 years ago. And I was going to put up for auction a round of golf with you, me, John Goodman, and somebody who was the lucky high bidder. And I got $3,000 for that. And then I get a call from John Goodman, and he says, "I am really sorry." He said, as you probably know, this guy works all the time. He's like 300 movies and TV shows. I mean, he's always. He said, "I gotta go to another movie shoot or what? I can't. I'm really sorry, and I feel bad about it." He said, "How much did the person pay?" And I said, $3,000. He said, "I'll send you four." So he did. To my house, he sent a check for $4,000. I gave the person back the $3,000 and still was able to, instead of three, have four donated to Window World's Trivia Night. I just thought that was a good story about a guy doing the right thing. You know, he realized he wasn't going to be able to do what he thought he'd be able to do, but he made it right. And by the way, anybody who wants to bid a lot of money and then can't make it and wants to pay more because you can't make it, that's fine too. We'll take that money.
There you go. It's all for charity. It's all for an unbelievable cause. And that's great. So how was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
All weekends are good. I've said that before. All weekends are good.
That's right. They are. Good, yesterday I thought, you know, with the Masters starting early, I thought that was unbelievable. I don't know if anyone else, and I'm not a very good golfer.
I like that.
I do love the game, but man, oh man, oh man. And then, I guess CBS had nothing else to play, so then they played it again. It was like, oh my God. And then, you know, Mimi's like, you already watched it. I'm like, yeah, because you know what's going to happen. I'm like, so? it doesn't mean that you can't watch those shots and those unbelievable stuff. Here's a guy that, didn't think he could ever swing a golf club again. And I know there's a lot of negatives in life about Tiger Woods, but I think everyone deserves a second chance, and I think that he's become a better person. He sure seems to be smiling. He's chewing gum now while he plays. And sometimes I chew gum while I'm playing to help with the nerves. And I'm thinking, this guy, he's nervous.
You want me to tell you what kind of gum he chews? Bubblicious.
How do you know that?
I did a lot of digging. No, I've done a lot of digging since that match yesterday. I found out all kinds of things about Augusta National, about Tiger Woods, and then I found an article on him chewing gum and how people noticed he was chewing gum like crazy. And they interviewed him about it, and he said it was bubblicious, and he does it to calm his nerves. He does it also to keep from eating as much so he can stay trim, because it sort of helps with a craving if you're chewing gum. And I actually know that to be true, too.
Right.
So it's bubblicious for anybody who wants to emulate Tiger. You got to go get yourself some bubblicious bubble gum. No, it caused me. I said yesterday when I was watching it, it actually made me want to go out and play golf, and that's saying something. But it was it was that infectious. I mean, I thought, my goodness, I think I want to go out and hit some golf balls. I'm going to ask you a question. When you say you're not a good golfer, then tell the truth. What's your handicap? What do you shoot normally?
You want to know the truth? You know, I ripped the hamstring on my right leg off of my pelvis, right? It had to be surgically repaired by Dr. Rick Wright, great, great, great orthopedic, the greatest orthopedic surgeon. And no such thing. And so, I thought this is a good excuse to take a few years off of golf, okay? It was when my dad owned the dealership and I did not own 100% of it, I could take a Thursday off. Not maybe work in the morning and then meet people for golf, and it's a great opportunity for business and discussion, and or take a Saturday off and take people golfing, go golfing with beautiful Mrs. Londoff and some friends. But then when I bought the whole place in 08, and then we know what happened with the economy in 08, mm-hmm. 9 and 10, it wasn't fun anymore. When you own 100% of something and you're not doing well, right now with these cell phones, these smart devices, you just can't escape. So, we started hitting golf balls again recently. But you're right, that event, just that place, and I've had.
You dodged the question. You dodged the question. What is your game? What do you shoot?
See, you have to have been playing.
Now, when you played, what did you shoot?
See, there's way too many friends of mine that are listening right now. And
that's why you can't lie about it. That's why you have to tell the truth.
Well, it's up there. Let me just say.
80s? Okay? You shoot in the 80s? You do. No. You shoot in.
I have.
They get hotter than that. He doesn't go out.
I've been lucky enough to have a few rounds in the 80s, but normally, I will tell you that I'm in the upper 90s to the 100s, okay? And that, by the way, is about the average golfer, okay? Very, very, very few men and women are out there that really have that gift, that game. That is the toughest game there is. And it's unbelievable. To be a 3 or 4 or 5 handicap, to be an 8 handicap, a 9 or 10 handicap, that's unbelievable.
That's a good golfer right now, there. I've never seen a scorecard of mine maybe 4 times that was lower than 100. I had a 96, and I thought, woohoo, 96. That was great.
Yeah, that for 9 holes?
That's funny. That's real funny. No, it was 18 holes, but I'm usually 100, like 105. Nothing to write home about. But I should be embarrassed to play, but I got over that. You know, you swing and the ball rolls 4 feet and you have to do it again. That's the way I play, and I know it, and I'm okay with that. And if anybody wants to play who doesn't mind that and wants to get a big kick out of it, yeah, throw some money at us.
I played with you over, golf, over a handful, 5-6 times. And I'm telling you what, folks, you want to have some fun, play 9 holes with Frank and me, but with, oh man, you're funny. You are hilarious. And
I don't mean to be. That's just how bad I am. I don't mean to be funny.
I'm not talking about your golf swing and your stance and all that goofy stuff. I'm talking about you're just funny. So,
I'm a lefty, and I'm blown away how few left-handed players there are. Mickelson is right-handed except for golf. He plays golf left-handed. One, when I was playing, when I tried to play, and I would play maybe once a week, there was a foursome, and this would probably never happen again, and we didn't know it until we all got together. All four of us were left-handed. That never happens. Never.
No. So when I played hockey, I shot left-handed. And I've actually, you know, some long time ago, I'm like, well, let me try to see if I could swing a club left-handed. I'm like, why? I've been, you know, I mean, I had a golf club in my hand at the age of 13. Grew up in Normandy, Missouri. Beautiful Normandy, Missouri. Members at Glen Echo Country Club. Then I was playing junior golf. And my dad said, you know, if those hands can wrap around a golf club, I think they can hammer around a broom handle or a mop handle. So you're coming to work. Enough with your junior golf. You're going to come back here in the shop and you're going to work. Which, God, it was a great decision because I certainly was not going to be even an amateur golfer, but a pretty good job. I could still wash your car. But I don't want to take those jobs away from the great people that do it at Jerry Lanham Chevrolet. Okay, I don't want to embarrass them. Okay, but let's talk about Luann Recker, R-E-C-K-E-R, from Marissa, Illinois. Just a few days ago, bought a brand new Chevy from us, and I'm pretty sure that the vehicle she traded in, she bought from us too, AM and the PM. And so, Luann,
thank you, Luann.
Very, very, very much unbelievable. And it's so
Marissa, Illinois, nice little town, and I would imagine there are a few car dealers between here and there, but no, she didn't want those. She came to Johnny Londoff. Luann Recker from Marissa, Illinois, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
That's great, and I tell you what, we're having a great day, had a great weekend. You know, it's exciting. It's just nice. You know, it's April. You know, it's just a great month, and people are getting...
Luann Recker, she lives in Marissa. She left the dealership, and we're sure going to miss her.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. I was wondering when it was going to happen.
Thanks, everybody.
I didn't really find that. I don't know. Let's try this. How about Christopher Mason? Let's see what you can do. Christopher Mason. Okay, from Springfield, Illinois. I'm telling you, your listeners, I hope you know, with the app, everyone, you've got to make sure that they, you know, they have the app. And if you've got friends that they're like, hey, you haven't listened to, hey, the app spreads out all over the world. So how about Christopher Mason, Springfield,
Christopher
Illinois.
Christopher Mason, an awkward ordeal he thought he was facing. But then he found out differently when he bought his car. For an unawkward deal, he didn't have to go far. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
That was much better. That was much.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm going to thank you right now and let you get back with your show because I can listen and laugh, and then on the way home I'll laugh. I sometimes I need to pull over so I don't have an accident laughing. So 314-837-1800. That's the number, ladies and gentlemen. You AM and the PM crowd, you are loved. You are adored at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. 314-837-1800. 24/7, 365 at Londoff.com.
All right, we'll keep them coming. Thank you, John.
All right, see you, Frank. Bye. Bye-bye.
Now, and by the way, just to clear this up, when he said he'd need to pull over so he wouldn't have an accident, he didn't mean like depends or something. He meant like an automobile accident.
Oh,
he's not that old yet. So I want to clear that. Somebody might have heard that and said, "Hey, dear John Londoff, today he has to pull over so he doesn't poop in his pants." No, it was a car accident that he was talking about. And now, Maestro, if you would please, Mr. Bauman's theme music. There it is. And this entire second half of this hour belongs to this guy, Josh Bauman. He's our tech guy. He is the IT guy in charge of all the IT stuff for the entire Fenton. Is it Fenton or Festus? I always do this.
Festus.
Festus. School district. The whole school district. It's all on him. Can you imagine that? But he knows some stuff. And you're about to see how much he knows. Feel free to ask him questions about TVs or smartphones or tablets or whatever. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. He's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Say hello to Josh Bauman, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Josh, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well for a Monday.
Yeah. I thought I had something, and honest to goodness, I forgot what it was. It was a tech-related thing I wanted to ask you about, and now I can't remember. Does anybody else have something for Josh here in the studio?
I have a quick story that I encountered today that I think listeners would benefit from hearing. Fit here. So, like you said, Frank, I work for a school district, and I get an email this afternoon from one of our people that work in our payroll office saying, Josh, did you just send out one of your phishing emails to see if we're susceptible to clicking on phishing emails? I said, no, I haven't done that. She goes, well, I just got a fake email claiming to be our high school principal wanting me to change his direct deposit information and send his paycheck to a new bank account.
Ooh.
Wow.
And thankfully our payroll person was paying attention, knew what was going on, and she emailed me before she clicked on anything or replied to anything. That could have been really, really bad if she would have fallen for it and replied back. And so that stuff does happen. And whether you realize it or not, employers are getting attacked, if you want to call this an attack. They are getting attacked almost daily with different schemes like this on trying to, and all it takes is one, and think about, hey, I've got your paycheck for a pay period. It is really scary the way that people are trying to work the system and take advantage of email. It's pretty unfortunate. But I was happy she didn't click on anything and didn't reply to the message. Yeah. We won that round.
I am pleasantly surprised at how quickly you got this following of people who call you right away.
I know, this
is awesome.
A couple
people on the phone. You want to just jump in and
take
this first? Okay. I will start with Patrick. Patrick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh Bauman. I am AM into PM.
Thank you, Patrick.
Hello, Patrick.
Well, I think I'm hosed, but I just throw it out there. I've got a user who's got a laptop, and it kind of went south on him and wouldn't start up. Finally got it started up, and it's asking for a BitLocker access code.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
And they never turned it on. I just set up stuff by default. And I did some Googling about BitLocker getting turned on accidentally.
What is this called?
It's BitLocker.
I've never heard of it.
Dang it, Limey. So, BitLocker, one of the features that came out with Windows a couple years ago is a feature called BitLocker. And what it does is it encrypts your drive so that if your drive is ever taken out of your machine or accessed inappropriately, you have to put in a password to get to that data. It's popular to use on thumb drives so that you can keep confidential or private information on a thumb drive. It's encrypted. When you try to plug the thumb drive in, it prompts you for your password so that only you can open it. And in cases like this, where if you either have forgotten the password or someone else entered a password that you don't know about, you could be up a creek. And honestly, without digging real deep into it, there are probably ways to unencrypt that in a kind of roundabout way if you want to spend some time on it. But depending on what's on that drive, it may just be easier to say, yep, sorry, we need to start over kind of thing.
All right, because we've got some backups, but the most recent backup was like November of 18, so...
Yeah, I mean,
not a total loss.
Yeah, so you're talking 4 or 5 months of data delta changes that would be lost, but that's better than not having a backup at all.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I don't...
It's just strange, because this person doesn't have the tech know-how or even the curiosity to even turn this on.
Right.
So it seemed to be a result of the issue with the laptop when it died, and you bring it back up, and now BitLocker is all of a sudden asking for something.
Now, are you sure it's the legitimate drive encryption from Windows and it's not some, like, Bitcoin ransomware?
Well, I mean, it could be, but before her machine died, she didn't report any problems with her machine.
Yeah, it, so. you know, it... It could very well be some sort of ransom. Have you laid eyes on it to see if it if it's coming up with a pop up message about transferring money or anything like that? That would be my first assumption.
It's a Dell, and they just put in a new motherboard today because that's what they diagnosed the problem. And when they put the new motherboard in and then powered it back up, it booted right up to the BitLocker, you know, put in your code.
Interesting. Now, some Dell motherboards for a time had drive encryption built into them. It might be worth trying a reset on that motherboard too before you give up too much.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll give that a try. But I pretty much figured out I'm not lucky.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Rick, you're next. Rick, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, Rick.
AM and the PM.
Thank you.
This is, a quick question. So I've got Charter as my internet, my cable service provider. They, you know, do the internet and all that kind of good stuff. And I've got like 200 millibits download speed.
Megabits, yep.
Megabits download speed. I understand in my area I can get 400. Is that going to change my life if I've got free smart TV? No, right?
No.
So I don't need to spend the extra $30 a month to do that, right?
No, not at all. I wouldn't. Unless you're... The only reason that I would even entertain an idea about upping that much for more money would be is if you're seeing lag on, like if you're streaming stuff and it's buffering, you know, you get the little spinning circle a lot, or you're noticing low quality default on YouTube videos, you know, if they're defaulting down to like 270 instead of being 720 or 1080p. Then you could think about it. But if you're not noticing any weird streaming issues or, you know, your internet's just slow in general, I would not spend $30 a month more to go up to 400. It's almost double the speed, but if you think of it this way, a normal Netflix, if you're watching Netflix on one of your smart TVs, the amount of bandwidth that thing's using is anywhere from say 5 to 8 meg a second, and you've got 250. Honestly, the biggest difference if you were having a problem would be likely switching out your Wi-Fi router because those over the years have notoriously been less than what is called wire speed. And by wire speed, I mean, you know, Charter is offering you 250 meg a second. Wire speed would mean you're able to offer that 250 meg over the air. Most consumer wireless routers for the last, say, just in history in general, until recent, have not offered wire speed over the air. You're probably looking at capping out around 100 meg. So my first suggestion would be, if you were having problems, would be looking at a new wireless router. And, you know, I'm high on the Google Wi-Fi router. Netgear makes some solid products, too, if you don't need extenders and stuff. But, no, I would not spend the extra money right now on that month-to-month service.
Great. That's what I was hoping you would say.
All right, Rick.
All right, Rick. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you, Rick. You too. Wow, you are so popular. Chris is next. Chris, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Josh Bauman.
Hi, Josh Bauman. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Not bad. AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Got a question for you about a monitor.
Okay.
I'm trying to set a monitor up to where it runs outside. It's kind of a throwaway, and I want to put it outside.
Okay.
But it only has HDMI connections on it.
Okay.
Am I going to be able to run the sound through that, to a receiver?
That's a good... So where's the receiver?
10 feet away.
Okay. And what is providing the video content? What is providing the content? Is it an antenna on the TV?
No, I'm wanting to hook like a Fire Stick or Roku or something like that up to it outdoors.
Gotcha. And your speakers are outdoor as well?
Correct.
Receiver's
inside. I'm just wondering if I plug that Fire Stick or whatever I end up using into the TV at the HDMI.
Right.
And I use the other HDMI to run the
audio
to the receiver.
I don't see how you could, because you have to pick one HDMI input or the other. Can you run them both?
It's going to come down to if the other HDMI on that monitor is an output. So and maybe I'm horribly wrong here. I haven't messed with a lot of monitors that have HDMI inputs on them. And when I say that, most ports on monitors, on the back of a monitor, most ports are input ports, meaning you're gonna plug a cable into it, and the monitor is gonna receive signal in that port, not send signal out. Limey's giving me a signal here.
No, I was just saying I have a question on the text line when you're done.
I don't know if you're gonna be able to output that information out of that monitor. What you might be able to do, does your receiver have an extra HDMI input on it?
It does. My next question was going to be, can I plug that Fire Stick into the receiver and just run the video out to the monitor?
Okay, and my answer is going to be probably. You might have, depending on how far away it is and depending on what kind of cable you want to run to that TV, you can buy really long HDMI cables and run to that TV. If it's too far a distance, say over 30 feet, 50 feet or so, HDMI starts to lose signal over a length that long. You may want to look at an HDMI to Cat6 or Cat7 converter. We actually had to look at this today at work. You can pick up El Cheapo models on Amazon for about $50, $80, somewhere in there. And you can spend as much as you want on that. But that would be the route. I would look at sending that, putting the input device on your receiver and taking the cable from the receiver to the TV, not the other way around.
Someone just called and said that he was dealing with the same thing, and he went on eBay and found HDMI splitters.
Yeah.
And he found the splitter, and that worked for him.
So then you're taking that signal and splitting it between the receiver and your monitor. And mm-hmm. that would work too.
Ooh, hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if I don't know the answer, the listeners do. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I have one more question.
Sure.
GPIO. And it looks like an Ethernet cable.
GPIO. I've not heard of that one.
It's on the bottom of the monitor. It's right next. I've got HDMI1, HDMI2, GPIO, a USB.
Stands for General Purpose Input Output. Is that what you're seeing, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
On Raspberry Pis. Honestly, I've never messed with it or heard of it, Chris.
Interesting.
I wonder.
Me neither, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Does that monitor have a Raspberry Pi built into it?
No idea.
Okay, because that's all the.
This monitor was used for a display, like in a store.
Yeah, I
like
bet you it does.
Display.
Yep. So that was used as a digital sign, is what that was probably used
correct.
For, and that digital sign likely has a client built into it that connects to a server to pull down the digital signage that's displayed on it. So yeah, that GPIO is likely an onboard or part of an onboard device in the back of that monitor.
What the heck is Raspberry Pi?
So Raspberry Pi.
That's what I was going to say.
I can get into that. I can get into that in a second. Yeah, Chris, that's probably what that is.
Okay. So if my best bet, what you're telling me my best bet would be, would you get a splitter, put the Fire Stick into that, run one signal to the monitor and the other signal to the receiver.
Yeah, I think that's probably your best bet at this point.
Yeah. Okay, that takes care of that. Wish I'd have thought of that. It would have saved me at least a phone call.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
All right, Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I remember what was I was going to ask you about. There's a documentary, and I made it real clear. I like documentaries. There's a documentary, and it's called The Boy Band Con, the Lou Pearlman story. You guys know who Lou Pearlman was?
Yeah.
Lou Pearlman was a great big fat guy who was a Ponzi schemer, and he stole $300 million from various people. He founded NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. He put Backstreet Boys together.
The guy
was both a genius and a scumbag.
This is the guy that claimed he was like the sixth member of the band. That's
yes.
why he could
yes.
still get royalties.
Yes, and he died about 2 years ago in prison. He went to prison because of this, all this money he stole from people. But this documentary looks really interesting to me. Here's the problem. It's on YouTube Premium. I don't have YouTube Premium, so I touched a free trial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, they want a credit card. Here's why it looks like I'm not going to watch this documentary, because I don't want to give them a credit card. I know, and whether you hear the monthly for YouTube Premium, $16 a month. I'm not paying $16 a month, and I know I'm not, so I'm afraid it'll be hard to get out of. Once I give them a credit card, I want a 30-day trial. It won't be?
Nope, not at
then
all.
Then I'll do it, because I know I'm bailing after 30 days. I'm not going to keep paying it.
YouTube includes YouTube Premium stuff, content, in their YouTube TV service as well. So if you're if you would be in the market for a streaming service, Frank, YouTube TV is $50 a month, and it includes that YouTube Premium content as well. And that free, there's a 7-day free trial for that.
Okay, maybe I'll do it long enough to watch this thing. If you say it's not hard to get out of it.
It should not be. YouTube has been very good. Google in general has been very good.
Okay, how do you get out of it? Let's say I do this. Let's say I click. Okay, here's my credit card. Boom, I watch the documentary. Now, who do I call? Where do I
go? You don't have to call anybody.
No, you go into the user interface for the website and go into settings, and there should be a cancel right there.
Okay. All right, I may do that. That's all I had. What did you come armed with today?
Well, I've got some other stuff, and I'll mention what a Raspberry Pi is, but Limey's got something.
I got a question from a listener here on the text line. They say they just went to a full TV streaming service, and when the TV is on and a couple of people are on the Wi-Fi, they're having slight issues. I'm guessing lag or something like
right.
that. What can they do to fix it, like get a more powerful Wi-Fi router?
Router. That would be the first suggestion. I would want to make sure that their service, you know, that they don't have something really slow like an old UVerse connection that's only, 6 meg a second or 8 meg a second. You're going to want something, I default to Charter, but that's where I live. I have Charter available. You're going to want to make sure you have a decent service. Do a speed test. As long as you're over 25, 30, 50 meg, you should be fine. If you're still having issues, yes, the Wi-Fi router would be the next thing to look at.
All right.
You have another call.
All right, let's do it.
It's Tom. Tom, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Josh Bauman.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Hey, Tom.
I understand that Alexa listens to everything and they track and monitor everything.
Yep.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
I have an Android phone. Is the same true for OK Google?
So that was one of the things I was going to talk about today, was the story that broke late last week that Amazon Alexa, it came out that the Echo devices, that there are humans reading or listening to the conversations that Alexa picks up. And Amazon has since kind of clarified that saying they only listen, or they're only taking part in the conversations after the key word is said for the Echo device. And their rationale, they have to train those AI algorithms somehow, and they say that this is how they're doing it. They have a human listening to make sure that, a human listening to make sure that the device is understanding what is said. I can lend some. I get part of that. As far as your question is to if Google does the same thing with the Google Assistant, one can assume that. I don't know that there's been any expose or breaking news that says that, they have humans at Google listening to every conversation. But like I said, someone has to train that artificial intelligence that takes your spoken word and then translates it to a search query or, some sort of action item that the assistant can take. So you can assume, yes, there is someone listening. And that's today's society, honestly.
Yeah, it's the CIA.
Yeah, the NSA, CIA, right.
Okay. Thank you. All right, long-time listener, AM and the PM.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. I got to tell you something. I think one of these days, in the not-too-distant future, there's going to be a huge news story where we find that there are people at Google or whatever who are listening for more than just Alexa, play Nine Inch Nails or Alexa whatever. They're listening to other stuff because they can. And don't tell me. Now look, am I worried about it being me? No. There are millions of people.
Right.
Millions of people with these things. Why would they go, ooh, let's pick this guy out in St. Louis? I don't worry about that. I just am afraid that I brought this up way back with regard to OnStar in the car. Because I said, if you can reach up and touch a button and somebody in Detroit says, hi, OnStar, can I help you? Don't tell me they can't listen without me touching that button if they want to. And again, I don't lose any sleep over it, but I think one of these days we're going to find that there's some people out there at wherever they are, Google and Silicon Valley or whatever. Every once in a while, they have a little party after work. Let's go see what these people are talking about. I believe that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Frank, you don't have Facebook, so you know, you have a conversation about a certain product, you know, that you're looking at buying, or you know, a car, a Chevy from Johnny Londoff, and the next thing you know, all the ads that you have on Facebook and the Facebook app are all Chevy ads. So.
Right. That's a little different than listening to your family, though. That's eavesdropping, and that should be, because that should be a felony.
But wouldn't
that's,
it be,
that's like wiretapping, bugging your house.
Wouldn't it be if you have the device and the device is listening to your conversations, whether it be on your phone or wouldn't that be classified as eavesdropping no matter what, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're listening all the if they are listening all the time. I don't know. It's just a strange environment that we live in.
I don't think most people think of it as people listening. They think it's electronic. There's a computer listening, and when we say the word Alexa, that triggers a computer response.
Correct.
To obey the command. I don't think anybody thinks that somebody's out there listening to me or anybody else say, hey, Alexa, do this, do that. I think of it as computers, as machinery, not as people doing it.
Right.
But I know I'm probably wrong.
Real quick, Raspberry Pi. So Raspberry Pi is a device that's about the size, or can be about the size of a deck of cards, that runs a Linux operating, or somewhat of a Linux operating system.
Layman's terms, buddy, layman's terms.
Tiny, tiny computer.
There you go.
That's the size of a deck of cards, and you can program it to do almost anything.
And Pi is spelled P-I.
Correct. Yeah, they've been around for 8 years, 10 years or so.
Hey, more than any other segment you have ever done, more than any segment you've ever done, today's segment is the one where I have known absolutely nothing about anything anybody called about. I was like, I'm sitting here listening to a foreign language. I don't know anything about any of this stuff. You get past, hey, how do I get my TV to bring up Showtime? Outside of that, I'm lost. So Raspberry Pi, I never heard that other guy they call with that term, a bit whatever. I never heard of that either.
Oh, BitLocker, yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of that either. This was a day for all new stuff for me that I do not understand. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I've never been ashamed to admit that I was stupid about something, that I know little about sports, so I'm not ashamed to ask this. How would you tell somebody what an algorithm is? I have no idea what that is. What's an algorithm?
So an algorithm is a function. Boy, that's a good question, Frank. It takes data, runs a function. It might be a math computation. It might be like an if-or statement, and then outputs some sort of value. So if I look at a picture, or if an algorithm, because you can train artificial intelligence to look at pictures now, which is pretty cool. If this artificial intelligence algorithm looks at a picture of a car and sees that it has four doors, is relatively low to the ground, it is likely, it can tell with the algorithm that it is likely a sedan over a truck. So
okay, but you said it can tell with the algorithm. What is the algorithm?
It is the logic behind that function, or the logic behind making a decision. Does that make sense?
I thought it was a guy.
A little bit.
No. Algorithm.
I have no idea what you just said. I still do not know what
layman's
an algorithm. I'm not kidding.
Buddy,
I don't know.
Frank, I'm having
Tim, do you know what an algorithm is?
One sentence, I think. Not without looking, of course not.
It has its own Wikipedia page, Frank. And
yes, it does.
An algorithm in mathematics and computer science, an algorithm is an unambiguous specification of how to solve a class of problems. So it's like a visual flowchart, if you will.
Yeah.
Algorithms can perform calculation, data processing, automated reasoning, and other tasks. If you watch Billions last night, one of the storylines is Taylor and her father creating these algorithms of how to make money in the hedge fund market, and they've got these flow charts that have letters and numbers and arrows pointing to various portions of this that all make sense to them. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
All right, so is it a lot like an algebraic equation, like a big algebra problem put up on the board?
It can be, and I think what Tim said is very accurate. The flow chart is probably the best way to describe it. you know, if it meets this value, then do this, then do this.
Like an if-then chart. If line three is this, go to five. If not, go to seven. It's
correct.
Like filling out a tax return.
Yeah.
Well, I am way too stupid to understand.
And
this.
I was the vice president of the United States.
Now, that's Al Gore.
Rhythm.
That's Al Gore.
Al Gore rhythm.
Didn't you create the internet?
Wow.
I keep hearing that word, and I think, well, I must be the stupidest person alive, but I don't think most people could tell you what an algorithm is, except the brilliant millennials and the people who, you know, work in that industry. The rest of us just turn our equipment on and off and hope it works, and that's all we know.
And that's the future, man. That's if you're looking at going into IT... training. Ooh. AI and algorithm creation. That's it.
I've got a request from a listener that are asking if you could give out your email address.
Sure.
More often.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com.
JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com. Here's another. Writing code. And I've heard that. I have no idea what that is. I think that you sit down at a keyboard and you write code, but I don't know what that means. You make a program or an app or what?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just a lot that I don't understand.
Not to brag, but I wrote my first code in fourth grade.
And what does that mean? What was it exactly?
I wrote a program. I was, you know, that brown noser kid. I wrote a program for the teacher that was a quiz. I wrote the quiz in the application, and it said if you got the answer right or not.
Back in the good old days, Frank, when computing, writing computer programs that basically existed of a bunch of ones and zeros. I actually did this in high school, and I created the New York Rangers logo on a printer. Your program had to work for you to pass the class, and it was a question of writing all these ones and zeros and parentheses marks, and BASIC was the language, which is so outdated now. But it's just gotten amazingly more complex since then.
Man, I am from another world. I'm just telling you, and it's not something that I feel like I'll ever have to learn now. You know, I don't need it. Yeah, it would make me a better, smarter person.
You ever click on a laptop, though, Frank, when you're using like a desktop or laptop? You ever accidentally click on a button and like a half screen shows up and it's just all these letters and numbers
that are
all just jumbled together, like if you're on a website?
Yes.
Debug mode.
Yeah, you've gone into the actual code of whoever wrote that website as to why things appear. Exactly.
You're in the Matrix.
People write that stuff and know what that stuff means.
Wow. There's some, you know what? There are some really, for all the losers in the world, there are some really smart people.
That's kind of what I'm going back to school for.
Well, good for you. Yeah, all right, you know how to wrap this up, Mr. Bauman.
Yep.
I think you're doing. We take your time. We still have 2 minutes, and we don't have Bill Clevland's in the building. Go ahead.
Real quick, before I do leave, if you have some spare time, look up the YouTube video of SpaceX, their Falcon Heavy rocket launch and landing from last week. So that's SpaceX, one of...
Is that Branson's deal?
No. That's Elon Musk.
Yeah,
dude.
Elon Musk.
Yeah. So huge rocket takes off, and the rockets come back to Earth and land upright, automatically.
Whoa.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa.
It is worth watching.
Is this the one they're going to put? Were there people in it yet?
No, I think Falcon Heavy is still just a cargo to the ISS. But it is fascinating to watch these rockets come back and land back on the launch pad just.
Who was the country last week that tried to become the fourth country ever to land something on the moon, and it crashed into the moon at the last second?
China?
I don't remember who it was, but the world is 3 for 4.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah,
it didn't crash into our flag. Hubba didn't knock our flag down, the American flag on the moon. Don't knock that down.
All right.
Crash.
JoshTechAdvice@gmail.com is my email address, and it's Josh the Tech Guy. It's time to say bye.
All right. Josh Bauman, head of IT for the entire Festus School District. You say, well, that's not a very big school district. Well, you try to do it, okay? A lot more to it than you might think. And he knows some stuff. In fact, he's so smart about all this. He's the first guy we've had do this segment that I can't even communicate with, you know? You keep it to that simple stuff, I can sort of weigh in. But it's gotten way beyond anything I can understand. That's okay, though. We all use it. I like my Ring doorbell, I'll tell you that. That's it for $200 or whatever. That's money well spent, if you haven't looked into that. That's my contribution. All right. We are headed for the news, and after the news, it's the Playhouse. Bill Cleveland is with us. Mike Evans will be with us. Of course, the joke, and the... I can't think of a more appropriate joke than the one we're telling today, considering what just happened. and that something big that just happened. That's all I'm going to say, or I'll ruin the joke. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Doug Vaughn. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Paris fire officials now say they're optimistic they can save Notre Dame Cathedral's landmark rectangular towers, and they say the main structure has been saved. The massive blaze, which has been burning for hours, has already obliterated the landmark spire, roof, and most of the world-famous cathedral. Former FDNY Commissioner Thomas von Essen says the fire is extremely dangerous.
The angle is just kind of like shooting it up in the air, and then it's just dropping down. It's not where you can really get the volume.